Okay. Well, let's start in Ephesians. I want to go to Ephesians 6. Pete's been teaching on prayer the last number of weeks. The one verse that just keeps coming up and blessing me is found in Ephesians 6. You'll have to excuse me because I left my house and left my Bible and all my stuff in the living room. But that's okay. So in Ephesians 6, and we're going to start in verse 10. And we're going to look at some things in regarding prayer and some of the heart of it. And so I'm excited about looking at this morning. Chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And I want to stop there for a minute and realize what this section is opening with. It's to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I think about the record where Paul is saying he besought the Lord three times that some of the things that he was going through would leave, you know, and go from him. And the answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." And what Paul learned and through all that was that in his weakness was where strength was found. And because when we realize that we can't do it on our own, you have to rely on God. There is no other option. In reality, there really is nothing in your life that you can do on your own. Not well. Not spiritually, without him. Right? "So finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And then it goes on, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," or the trickery of the devil. Why? Verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." It's a quick statement there, but it means the things that we struggle against in this life, it's not against flesh and blood. Okay? "But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For that reason, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." And I want to bring us back to how this section opened in verse 10. It's to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, right? That's how this section opens. And then it says, look, you're not fighting against flesh and blood. This is a spiritual battle. And it would make sense, being that it's a spiritual battle, that I would then need the strength of the Lord and to be able to stand in his strength and not my own. Because my flesh has no game in the spiritual realm. Right? So I'm standing in his strength. Right? And then when it talks about what I can do, I'm to take that whole armor of God to withstand in that evil day. And this is an evil day. The God of this world is still the devil at this moment, where he's still that thief that comes to steal, comes to kill, comes to destroy, you know? And so bad things happen, and not everything that happens is the will of God. You know, these things that happen that the devil brings to pass. But we're to stand in this evil day, and what we're to do, we're instructed to do, is to take that whole armor of God, that our feet would be shod, that we'd have on our feet that gospel of peace, that shield of believing, that we would believe God, that we'd be able to quench every fiery dart with that shield of believing, that helmet of salvation or deliverance, that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. And this verse 18 is kind of where I want to take the focus of today's teaching. But in verse 18, it says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always, that word always, as Pete has mentioned several times over the last couple of weeks, is three Greek words. And it's really the word dia, which is through, pas is every, and then I forget the other word, but it's every situation. It's through every situation or occasion, through everything, that we're praying, that we're going to God in prayer, right? I've been personally reading through Proverbs, just kind of in my own time. There's a verse that stuck out to me again that I've known for years, but it's in Proverbs chapter 4, and it says, "Guard your heart," or "keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." You know, and it's one thing, to have this word. Certainly, we study it, we go to it because we want it in our mind. This, we just read here how we're to put it on our feet, we're to believe it as a shield, we're to put it on our head, we're to wield it like a sword. It's the word of God, right? But to get that word of God so it's dwelling in my heart, you know, and to stand in that strength of the Lord, and the aspect of this. Right here at the end of this section that's talking about this, it brings up prayer. And it says to pray through every occurrence, every occasion in life. We're praying through that, right? So I want to share something, personally about prayer that I think if I've dealt with it this way, that probably a lot of people have. And if you haven't, then that's awesome. But, prayer, just like reading the word, and just like a lot of things that we can do as Christians, can sometimes become just this religious act, this thing that we know we're supposed to do. So we put it on the things of the list to check off. Like being a good Christian means I'm praying, it means I'm reading the word, it means I'm going to church, check, 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 right? But I wanna look at prayer in terms of its our relationship with God and the kind of impact that prayer can have on your life and intimacy with God. And you think about it, it says to pray through every situation, right? Or every occasion. And I think about if you're, driving in a car next to your best friend, how hard would it be to forget that they're there? Yeah, and you might for a second here or there, right? But you generally don't forget your best friend sitting next to you, right? Even if you're quiet, even if you're not saying anything, you're there with them, and you're sharing that experience, right? And if they, and then you might have a conversation here or there, but you might only might have a little piece of a conversation here, and then you're quiet for 15 minutes, and then a little bit more conversation or whatever it is, but you're with them, and there's a certain intimacy that goes with that, So I want to see prayer almost more in that light, because if prayer is just this thing that becomes a list in the list of things I need to do as a Christian, then it's not, if that's what it was with you, if I had that relationship with you, and I was like, oh, well, I got to call them and have the obligatory conversation, that's not really a relationship. That's just obligation. You understand the difference? Mm-hmm. So I want to look at what this can look like in our life, day in and day out, to be praying through everything. I want to go through to John chapter 17, the Gospel of John. And Pete had read through this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ that is recorded in John 17. This is cool. Verse 1, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As you have given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Isn't that a cool verse? This is life eternal. So our Lord here, he's praying to God. He's saying, God, you have given eternal life to, you know, to as many as you've given me. And this is eternal life, that they might know you and that they might know Jesus Christ whom you've sent. So, right? So, like, in this room, if we've confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, we have eternal life, right? That the moment that Jesus became Lord of your life, you were given that gift of eternal life. The Spirit of God entered into you, and you became that body, soul, and spirit package, right? And then you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, eternal life. And then here it says, this is eternal life, that you might know him in his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Isn't that neat? That you might know him. You know, nothing from God comes by our works. You know, it just doesn't come by, you know, even, honestly, even if you look back at when they were under the law of Moses, you had these guys in Jesus' day, and the people that Jesus most reproved were often these guys who they knew a lot of the scriptures in their head, but they didn't know God. And I know they didn't know God because when his Son entered the world, they missed the very Son of God. They missed him. They missed him because they didn't know God. And if the word of God that they had studied so diligently had caused them to know God, then they wouldn't have missed his Son. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. So there's a way to be in the scriptures and doing all the right stuff and all the prayer and miss God completely. Because God is not interested in my works or your works. Do you understand that? He doesn't need me to pray to him. He doesn't need that from me. He asks me to because he loves us, right? Everything he does, his motive is love. And we have the opportunity to pray to him. We've been given this open access that even the Old Testament believers didn't have. You know, they had a law to follow, you know, step by step. But even in that, it was supposed to help them turn their hearts towards God. And this is eternal life. We've been given eternal life. But this is eternal life that you might know him and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Isn't that cool? Because I know me, sometimes I would just have this you know, I don't know. I imagine like two brackets. Like here's this religious list of things. And in reality, what happens is when we turn prayer and reading God's word and fellowshipping with the saints into a religious thing, they're just checkmark boxes that in my heart, I'm really just trying to get to God by doing the right things. But the thing is that his Son came and did the right thing and has given you the gift, and you now you're in the presence of God. You have the Spirit of God in you, and you have this relationship, and it's by nothing that you did. You see, so not only do you not need to do anything, you also don't need to maintain it by your own works. He's not interested in that. You have an open door access to God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We've been given that. And so we have this opportunity to pray in everything, just like our best friend is next to us in everything that we're doing, you know, where we're intimately fellowshipping with God. You know, this all ties together, even in the renewed mind, in renewing your mind to God's word, which we often talk in Romans 12, it says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Even that is not just an act on my own strength. I will not be successful doing that on my own strength. And again, let's go. What I want to do now is I want to take you into Psalm 119. And this is really cool. I think about this for, you know, for praying with our understanding, but also for prayer with, you know, by the Spirit. It talks about that, both of those in Ephesians 6:18, that we're praying and also praying in the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues. Right? And I was thinking about that this morning. I thought, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I pray in the Spirit and I don't have love, then I'm like a tinkling cymbal, or not, I'm making noise. I'm making noise. Because, you know, I also thought the scriptures say, if I don't love, I don't know God. Because God is love. So if I know God, then I'm also able to love. And if I'm loving and I'm speaking in tongues in love, now we have something. You see? Because this whole thing, it's about relationship. It's about this relationship that God has given us. It's awesome. You know, it's not just, I'm going to try and speak in tongues as much as I can, get all this quantity of speaking in tongues so that my spirit's built up. It's intimacy with God. I'm praying to him. Not he doesn't need me to rack up speaking in tongue points so that I can somehow be more spiritual, right? I need to be in fellowship with him, in intimacy with him, and speaking in tongues out of love, out of great love. Psalm 119, this is really cool. This blessed me. Reading this week, I'm going to read the first three verses. It says here, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." And I'm going to stop there. Now these first three verses of Psalm 119 are unique compared to the rest of the psalm. Because starting in verse 4 and going through all the rest, the 150 some odd verses that are in there, every verse is the psalmist praying to God. It's the psalmist, and he's speaking of himself, and he's speaking of God, and he's speaking of God's word. And you'll see it in a minute. But the first three verses introduce this psalm, and it's speaking to you and me as the reader. Okay? Does that make sense? So the first three verses are saying, look, guys, look, you who are reading this book, those who are undefiled in their way, in their way of life, are blessed. Those who walk in the law of the Lord, in his word, we walk his word. Hey, those that keep his testimonies are blessed. Those that seek him with the whole heart are blessed. You see? They do no iniquity and they walk in his ways. So you're blessed to do that. That's a blessing to your life. It's the way to go. And then it proceeds to demonstrate how that's done. And look at this, how this works. Just read with me here. I'm gonna make it personal here. It says, "You, God, you have commanded us to keep your precepts, your word, diligently. Oh, Father, that my ways were directed to keep your word. Then I won't be ashamed when I have respect unto all your commandments." And then look at this, verse 7. "I'll praise you, Father, with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned your righteous judgments. I'll keep your statutes. Oh, please don't forsake me. Wherewithal, how is a young man supposed to cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to your word. Father, with my whole heart I've sought you. Oh, please don't let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your word. Teach it to me. With my whole lips I've declared all the judgments of your mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate, I will think in your precepts and have respect unto your ways. I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with me, your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Do you see the heart of this psalm? Isn't that awesome? Blessed are those who are undefiled in the way, who seek after God. Well, I'll tell you what. Look, you see the intimacy here, the fellowship that's going on between the psalmist and God, where the psalmist is actively seeking God to do and to believe the word that God has given the psalmist to believe. You see? And in reality, there is no way. It's not like God has handed us his word, endowed us with spirit, and said, "You guys go." And he sits back with his hands behind his head and just watches. Just wait, let's see if they actually do it. You know? That's not how it works. Because the reality of this thing is, there's no way we're walking this thing There's no way we're standing in the power of the Lord and the strength of His might without this kind of intimate fellowship and relationship with Him, where I'm seeking Him for the help. It's like, Father, I want to know Your word. The desire is in me, but help me. Open my eyes. Teach me. Show me. Lead me in Your way. Oh, don't let me wander off. Because Lord knows that I wander sometimes, right? I need Your help. I need Your help. So that's that kind of heart of prayer, where we're seeking Him for the help to do His word. It's wonderful. And you know, there's a lot of praying that can happen where you're making requests, certainly. You know, it says pray according to His will and He hears you, right? But the neat thing, and one of the greatest aspects of prayer, is that in that prayer, there's a turning of your heart to God. There's an expectation set from Him. And the reality is I don't need my perceived answer to the solution. What I need is Him. Does that make sense? I need His solution to the problem. So whatever it is we're going through, sometimes we have ideas of what a good outcome might be. Sometimes we even pray for that specific outcome. But the reality of prayer is that prayer helps us to get our heart in alignment with Him. So that in that prayer time, even if I have a specific request, something that I want, that I can go to Him, my expectation is from Him, and maybe He has a better solution or a different idea. But the real deliverance that comes from prayer is that my heart is now turned toward Him. And I think one of the primary examples that I think about is our Lord Jesus Christ in the garden, right? Because He didn't want to go through what He was going to have to go through. He said, Father, if there's any other way, yet not my will, but Your will be done, right? And at the end of that prayer session, those three times where he went to God, at the end of it, the Lord Jesus Christ was ready to do what he needed to do. Because in that case, the answer was no, there's no other way. But he did have an answer in that he reverenced God and that he was able to go forward and do the will of God. And Hebrews said he learned obedience in that place. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to have all the answers or do all the right things to get, you know, to be spiritual enough to be able to do this stuff and to be able to go after God the way we're supposed to. And you feel like, well, God's given me every advantage, the Spirit, I have the Word, we have all this amazing abundance of teachers and the preaching of the Word. All that is awesome. All that is awesome, but all of that is geared toward helping us turn our hearts towards Him and to go to Him in prayer. And that time so that the Scriptures are in my heart, right? Who here has ever been taught to, like, confess the Word? I have. It's a good thing, right? We confess the Scriptures. We say what the Word says about your life. I'll tell you what, you know what's powerful? Confess the Word to Him. Go to Him in prayer. It's not just you trying to jam that verse in your brain. Go to Him like the psalmist does here. Father, open my heart. Teach me. God, Your Word says that I'm without condemnation. Father, Your Word says that Jesus Christ has cleansed me from all sin. Thank You for cleansing me from all sin. Help me to understand and know what that means. Help me to walk in that. You know, that kind of prayer where we're not just confessing the Word, we're going to Him in that fellowship, the intimate fellowship. Go to Matthew. And I'll tell you what, you're feeling down or low, or you feel like your head's 1,000 different places and not where you want it to be because you know His Word and you know that He wants us to be thinking His Word. I challenge you, you take 15 minutes of quiet time seeking God and asking Him to do in your heart what you know in your head from the Word, and you'll walk out of that changed. You're ready to go because God will do a thing. He just will. And I have scriptural evidence for that too. Matthew chapter, I think it's chapter 5. I don't have my Bible with me, so I've got a hand tied behind my back here. Bear with me for a minute. There it is. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This is one of my favorite little sections on prayer. If there was a man that knew a lot about prayer, it would be our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5, chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And I'm going to stop here for a minute and just share with you one of the struggles I have had at times. So I'm not one of those guys necessarily that cares to be seen of people. Maybe because I'm not like, I don't know, I'm a little sheepish sometimes. You know, I don't want to make a show. I don't want people looking at me. I'm not interested in that for maybe even for selfish reasons, you know, because I just don't like the attention. It's uncomfortable, you know. So this is not me, but how many times in my own heart have I felt like I needed to pray so that I could somehow be that spiritual person? You see what I'm saying? Or where I was doing it because it felt like a religious obligation or something I needed to do to maintain some sort of spirituality, right? It was still, so I come out of that feeling accomplished because I prayed. What was the point of that? You see what I'm saying? It was still to just make myself feel better. I have my reward now. I've prayed. I feel religious. I feel spiritual. You see what I'm saying? Okay, that's not what he's looking for. And that's not, honestly, not the kind of prayer that's going to bless your life. But look at this. I love this. "But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you've shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly." Isn't that cool? Verse 7, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him." Wow, isn't that neat? Your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask him. I often wonder to myself, then why do I even have to ask? But again, the point is do I know everything? Certainly not, right? In my mind, in my perspective, am I equipped of myself to do battle against the wiles of the devil in this world where the battle is not flesh and blood? Absolutely not. We need wisdom, do we not? James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him go to God, who gives to all men liberally. But go believing God, you know, trusting that he's going to give you the wisdom, right? So we go to him. And I don't have to use repetitions. This isn't for religious obligation. This is because your Father sees you in secret. He sees you in secret. He knows what you have need of. You, Jason Bourne, have need of. You, Tony Giovengo, what you have need of. He knows what each one of us individually has need of. And he's got the solution. So go to him. Because he has the answer. You see? It's beautiful. And a lot of times it'll come in his word, but you put yourself in that position where he can remind you of his word. And he can shepherd your heart, you know, and teach you and guide you. And you'll be rewarded openly. It'll be obvious in your life. Because the fruit of someone who's spent time with God is, you know, is it becomes obvious. Yeah. It's really amazing. Excellent. Well, let's do one more, Philippians, and we'll finish there. Philippians chapter 6. Oh, yeah, I knew that. Chapter 4. It was verse 6. This is cool. And that word careful here in verse 6 is that word to be divided in mind, or that it's referring to anxiety. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And boy, this is just a lot of us pray, and when we pray, we'll say, thank you for this, Father, thank you for that, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. And that's wonderful. And saying thank you can remind us to be thankful, but this is never lip service. God is not looking for us just to say the right words and somehow magically unlock the spiritual realm, right? It's not magic words. It's heart. That's what he's looking for. He's looking for our heart. And he's saying here, in everything by prayer. So instead of being anxious, this is God's solution. When I'm anxious, do we find ourselves in anxiety sometimes?
Yeah.
Absolutely, right? Everybody does. There's something that happens and it causes anxiety. But you're not condemned for being anxious. There's a solution here. This is what God says. Instead of being anxious, come to me in everything. Right? In Ephesians it says, through all occasions. Here it's saying, in everything. By prayer and supplication, that's specific requests, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Isn't that cool? So you're letting your requests be made known unto God. Hey, what's the result here? In verse 7, the result is, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it's beyond understanding, will keep or will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? What did it say back in Proverbs? It says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, right? And here it's instructing us that, boy, when you're anxious, I'll tell you what, when you're not anxious, but when you are anxious, take everything to God by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving in your heart. Let God know what's going on in there, what you feel you need. He knows what you have need of before you even ask him. And that peace of God, which is beyond understanding, will guard your heart through Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I love the context of that. We're to think on those things, but what have we just done? We've gone to God. We've gone to God with our requests. And I remind you of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, his request for this cup to pass from him was the answer, yes, the cup can pass from you. Was that the answer?
No,
it wasn't. But did he get what he needed to be able to do the will of God and, according to Hebrews, do it with joy and accomplish the task that God had for him? Yes, he did that, right? So what an opportunity we have in prayer. Because sometimes life is overwhelming. Sometimes the cards you've been dealt are too much for, all of the time, if we're honest, are too much for us. But he gives wisdom and he gives it liberally. And we have a relationship with him, that intimacy, right? So that's what I wanted to share, just kind of from my heart today. But I'll pray. So Father, I just want to thank you for your word and thank you for being real. Thank you for being involved in our life and for drawing us out of darkness and putting us in the kingdom of your Son, Father. Thank you for loving us so big and that we get to do this together as a body too, Father. And I just pray for everyone here today and thank you that you're at work in our lives and our hearts. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.